This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Now that Jahar Tsarnaev has been found guilty of the Boston Marathon bombings, the next phase of the trial, set to begin next week, will determine whether he'll be executed or spend the rest of his life in jail.
And it will reignite debate over the death penalty, especially in Massachusetts, a state that has no death penalty statute and where a majority of residents say they oppose it. It also again raises the question of why the federal government claimed jurisdiction in this case in the first place.
In a piece in today's Boston Globe, Harvey Silverglate, a Cambridge attorney, argues that it's become too easy for the feds to usurp state authority in a case like this. He writes, had Tsarnaev been tried in state court, he'd already be serving a sentence of life without parole in a state maximum security prison. And Harvey Silverglate joins us now. Welcome back to the program, Harvey. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
Also with us is attorney Donald Stern. He served as the top federal prosecutor in Massachusetts from 1993 to 2001. Donald Stern, great pleasure to have you as well.
Thank you.
Let me get Harvey to lay out the case a little bit that he made today. And Harvey, just to be really clear, you're not arguing that the feds didn't have the constitutional right to claim jurisdiction in this case, but you argue that it's become too easy for the feds to usurp what should be state jurisdiction, right?
Right. I mean, there's no question, because of the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, that the feds have the power to do this and have the right to do this. But I think that it is really a mistake for them to usurp the sovereign decision of the people and the courts of Massachusetts to not have a death penalty, and to then, in an event that is more of Massachusetts' importance than national importance. I know that the whole country knows about it, but it's our marathon, it's our state, and it's our city. And I think it's a mistake for the feds to use their supervening power and their superior authority to do something that the people of this state have decided they didn't want done in this border, and that is impose the death penalty.
Hmm. Donald Stern is a former federal prosecutor. I'd love you to respond to Harvey's concerns and remind us why the feds would claim jurisdiction in this case and not leave it to the states.
Well, just to take a step back, I mean, we have a constitutional system of federalism. The founding fathers could have said everything is national. There are no state rights. There are no state prerogatives. Or they could have gone the other way and robbed the national government of any authority over what happens, you know, outside of Washington. But instead, we have kind of a hybrid. We have a mixture, which at times is very messy and complicated. And this is a debate in different forms, which has lingered for hundreds of years and takes its form in many ways every single day. So the same argument that Harvey is making, if you substitute instead of this case, some arguments that might have been made by southern states during the civil rights days, or even today, tables get reversed. The state's saying, let us have our state prerogatives, leave us alone, the feds have nothing to do with this. So here, just going back, Anthony, to where we are today with this matter, Congress passed a number of laws which provided that there were federal violations if certain crimes were to occur and certain potential penalties would apply. It didn't carve out particular states. It didn't say, for example, that if you commit an act of domestic terrorism or if you plant a bomb at a public event or if you murder people in a way that's heinous and cruel and puts others at risk, if you're in Houston or in San Francisco, we're going to prosecute you. But if you happen to be in a state such as Massachusetts, which has decided not to have the death penalties for state crimes, the feds ought to keep their nose out of our business. So instead, you have a system where the federal government, and again, it's not always perfect, can look at what federal interests might be implicated by particular conduct and make some judgments as to whether they think that's an appropriate case for federal prosecution, or whether they're going to allow the states to go forward.
All right. So, Harvey, let me come to you. Let me just ask the question, because Donald Stern raises a question I wanted to ask you, and it seems like that there are, concurrent interests here. That is, some crimes have national significance as well as state significance. If so, wouldn't this be one of those cases in which the federal government really does have an obvious interest? That is terrorism.
It's a matter of not so much interest as power and right. Now, let me just explain. Don Stern said, states' rights are overridden by the federal constitution when it comes to racial equality. Well, of course, that's because the racial equality is written into the constitution. We have an equal protection of the laws clause. The constitution does assure equality by citizens. But this case is a real stretch. Affect interstate commerce, for example. Well, I suppose you can technically make an argument that just about anything affects interstate commerce. It is a stretch. I don't doubt that the feds have the jurisdiction, but it is a Massachusetts event. This grew out of a Massachusetts event. You can call anything terrorism if you want to, but it's a Massachusetts event, and the Massachusetts interest seems to me, by any logic, is superior to the federal interest, even though federal power is superior to Massachusetts power.
Mm. Well, what's the fix, Harvey Silverglade? I mean, what would your proposed fix be to this?
Well, I think that we just have to have the Department of Justice start exercising better judgment as to when they're going to move in and take over a case. There is an indictment pending in the Middlesex Superior Court for the murder of MIT police officer Sean Collier. Middlesex County could have had, if they had possession of the body of Zarnaev, that case could have been tried in 2 weeks. It could have been tried a year ago. It would have been over with, and he'd be serving a life sentence in a maximum security Massachusetts prison. The fact that instead we have had all of this, you know, I won't call it a circus because it's not funny. It's a tragic event. But there is something about it that's out of proportion to what couldn't been and should have been had they been tried in Middlesex County for the murder of the police officer. Mm.
Donald Stern, what's your reaction to that? What might have been lost, had this case been tried in a state court?
Well, it's a fair question, and you could, I suppose, superimpose that analysis over probably any case, because as Harvey knows, probably most cases there's concurrent jurisdiction. And so what the federal prosecutors look at is again, what is the federal interest here? Are there certain resources which can be brought to the table by way of investigative resources? Mm. I suspect there are enormous investigative resources which went into this case. Remember, you know, it probably took a lot of time and effort to find out whether or not there was an international connection. It's great to look back in hindsight and say, well, it looks as if there were these two guys in Massachusetts who committed this horrendous act. But, you know, it probably took a lot of effort to do that. And there was probably, so part of it is what kind of investigation and prosecution resources can be brought to bear? What about the resources to try the case? I mean, this was a 2-month trial, maybe longer, including jury selection. It might have been simpler if it was in state court. I'm not sure that the full, I don't mean this in the full force of the story that occurred and the horror that happened, that they would have played out as well and as complete at the state side as it is did in federal court. And I know people say it would have saved money, it would have saved time. I don't think that's the criteria we ought to be looking at in a case like this. This is a very unique case, and I really fundamentally disagree with Harvey that this is a Massachusetts parochial matter. This was a national tragedy, and it deserved to be tried in a federal court.
And by the way, Donald Stern, how common is it for the federal government to seek the death penalty in a state that does not have a death penalty statute?
It's not common. It's not common. And that's because most states do have the death penalty. I think I may be wrong on the numbers, but I think they're probably 34, 35 of the states, I think, have the death penalty. So it's not common, but you know, again, the theory behind that is that the approach and penalties for a federal case, once you decide that there's a sufficient federal interest in a particular case, once that decision is made, that the penalties ought to apply whether you're in Houston or Nashville.
Sure.
or Boston.
And Harvey Silverglate, you know, you wrote in this in your piece this morning that the sentencing phase of the Tsarnaev trial represents a big challenge for the defense, mainly because the jury is made up of people who don't oppose the death penalty on principle. Is that sort of at the crux of what bothers you about this? A federal trial with a jury that doesn't necessarily reflect the views of the people in this state?
Well, it is a kind of a misshaping of the system when you're picking a jury and you can only pick from among the subgroup of the population, which is the minority of the population here in Massachusetts, that believes in the death penalty. That means that a majority of the adult voting citizens of this Commonwealth were disqualified from being on that jury. There's something wrong with that picture if you believe in the fundamental premise, which is from even before the founding of this country, that the jury represents a cross-section of the community. That's not true in this trial. There's a real serious distortion.
Hmm. So, Donald Stern, respond to that. I mean, is there a response to that that somehow justifies the fairness of this trial?
Well, I think Harvey somewhat misstated it, I think, which is, you know, you can be opposed to the death penalty. I'm opposed to the death penalty in the sense that if I was a member of Congress, I would vote against it. But I think I could be death penalty qualified, eligible to sit on a jury, because if I raised my right hand and took an oath, I would listen to all the evidence, including all the evidence for mitigating circumstances presented by the defendant, and try to reach a fair judgment. Hmm. So the theory behind what the Supreme Court has said, which is what Harvey, I think, was reflecting, is you have to at least have an open mind when you sit on the jury. You can't be one way or the other. You can't say, I will impose the death penalty no matter what. And you also can't say, I'm so opposed to the death penalty that irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of the facts, no way am I ever going to vote for it. And that's all that the law requires, is that you be open-minded and fair.
All right. Well, that's Donald Stern. He's an attorney who served as the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts from 1993 to 2001. Donald Stern, thank you. It's a great pleasure having you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Harvey Silverglate is a Cambridge-based criminal defense attorney. You can read a copy of his Boston Globe piece at radioboston.org. Harvey Silverglate, always a pleasure to have you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, reform, revenue, both. We'll examine the new state report on how to fix the MBTA. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.